on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by Chevron. It's proven no gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Curtis Terry.
Eli reverses course, comes down the left side into the lane. Contact with Alston to separate, and then a hook shot off the glass and in. Quickly up ahead, Hobbs. Hobbs has his dunk blocked by Bryce Hamilton, and it heads the other way. Just an example of the great effort on both ends of the floor much of the night last night as the Runnin' Rebels celebrated senior night in style with a double-digit victory last night in the game, and clinched themselves a spot in the top five in the Mountain West Conference. Runnin' Rebels playing their best basketball of the year, and we are here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino with our final Runnin' Rebel Coaches Show of the season. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, head coach T.J. Otzelberger with you. And coach, couldn't think of a better way of celebrating senior night than with a big win over a good Boise State team last night.
Yeah, our guys came out with great energy defensively. One of the better halves or 30-minute stretches we've played all year. Thought we were suffocating all over the floor. Energy was great. We got out and ran in transition. And proud of our guys. The focus, they came in on an emotional night like that. Things can go a lot of different ways, and they were focused.
Was there talk in the locker room, talk at practice, about making sure that you send Eli and Nick and Vitaly out in style with a win?
Yeah, it's important. Those guys have that memory, and we shared that with our team that, we need to come out and play with that effort and energy. Those guys don't have another opportunity to play a true home game at Thomas and Mack, and it's all three guys have been very instrumental in our season, so definitely wanted to bring our best and get the victory.
CT, you all right?
I feel like a stagehand over here.
Oh, what's Matt? Oh, you got issues.
Things in my way. I'm sitting behind
CT's
coach.
CT's got equipment issues and all sorts of stuff. We'll let him deal with that.
Sorry, I got it. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Coach, the defensive performance last night, and it was a great crowd. It was really heartening to see for an 8 o'clock tip in the middle of the week to see that big a crowd at the Thomas and Mack. There was a Knights game, other things going on in town as usual, but a terrific crowd at the Thomas and Mack. And I love the fact that they, just by their cheers and the way they reacted, they sincerely appreciated the defensive effort that the Rebels put on.
Yeah, the crowds have been great. They've gotten better as the years went on, and it has something to do with our effort and our energy too. It's a team effort, and feeding off that energy, seeing that crowd, gets our guys playing that much harder. We've continued to really improve, especially on the defensive side of the ball these last few weeks, which as a coach, you know that you're going to be able to hang your hat on defense and it travels and all those good things. So proud of the effort, thankful to our fans, excited what our guys are working towards doing here.
What's been the key to getting that defensive team effort? Because it's been terrific, really, for the last four or five games.
There's a technical piece to it. There's a strategy piece in terms of game planning. But more than anything, it's your team being connected. It's being connected as a group. It's playing for each other. It's when a guy overruns a closeout, coming in and providing that help. It's on a drive, impacting the play at the rim. And so it's all those energy plays over and over again. But I think mostly it's attributed to our guys' connectedness and coming together as a team.
Curtis, you watched it last night. You were really appreciative of the defensive effort and execution.
How could you not be? I mean, just the effort the guys showed out there. And first of all, I mean, when you put five guards out there and they're battling, they're trying to front the post, getting deflections, that's just effort. And we talked about it, John, in terms of how the small guys out-rebounding bigger opponents. And that just shows just what this team is made of. I mean, and obviously you got to have fears and worries. Are we going to be okay? Is size going to be an issue if we go small? But last night, when you try to match it, it's kind of a chess game. And it didn't work out very well for Coach Rice. But again, like Coach said, like you said last night, what do you do? Teams try to figure it out. Nobody has so far. good thing. Hopefully we still got something else in our back pocket for not only Saturday but next week.
Yeah, Marvin Coleman with 9 first-half rebounds last night, 11 overall. I mean, you know, you see Marvin on the street, you think, oh, I hope he does very well in his career as in his accounting classes and in his business career to follow or whatever it's going to be. And there is nobody tougher on the court than Marvin Coleman.
He's a winner. He's changed our team when his emergence – and his leadership have impacted us in many ways. He plays with no agenda outside of a tremendous passion for his teammates, the university, and at running Rebel Jersey. And it's a great thing to see. It's an honor to be his coach, and I look forward to seeing everything he'll continue to accomplish.
I think one of the telling things that we saw from this team happened after the San Diego State game, and it was actually something that Elijah Mitrou Long said in the media. He could have talked about his great play. He could have talked about scoring this, that, and the other thing. What he talked about was a defensive stop that Jay Green made at a critical moment in the game to help kind of stem the tide and secure a victory for the Runner Rebels. I think that says a lot about the way this team looks at itself.
I think they're very aware of those impactful plays. We've had a lot of close games early, some overtime games we weren't fortunate enough to win. In those experiences, our guys developed resiliency, but also an appreciation for the details when it comes down to winning. They're very aware of which plays help, you know, get us on that side of the ledger that we want to be on, and I think they're very much thinking about each other, and it's, you know, the proof is in the pudding with the comment by Eli.
Curtis, we've seen this Renner Rebel defense kind of take the wind out of the sails of a number of teams lately. I mean, yeah, Boise kind of, I think, took advantage of a tired club and a Rebel team with a big lead last night and made a comeback. San Diego State's going to do that at home. But the Rebels have kind of took the will away from Boise last night. They did it to Colorado State a couple of games ago. They did it to New Mexico a couple times this year. That defense can do that.
And I think it's best put how Eli said it after the Colorado State loss. We need to go in there and shut off their water. And I made the comment last night.
Yep.
You've got to be like you work for the city. You didn't pay your water bill. We're going to come in there, shut your water off, and just don't give them anything. And they were it was dripping. They couldn't get anything going. And I just think it's so much fun to watch. Now, obviously, there's struggles at times where it's kind of slow offensively, but the defensive performance coach that you guys put on last night without making tons of shots early on and to be able to build that lead, to me, that is what is exciting because moving forward, that's how you're going to win and be sustained because shots come and go. You make them and you miss them. But that defense, John, like you said, they've been hanging their hat on that. And I said their Hey Reb Cowboy hat. They've been hanging it on there the last couple of games, and it's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, Coach, you look at the statistics. The shooting stats – three-point shooting and free throw shooting were not that much different than we've seen in some other games where the Rebels weren't able to win. But because of that defensive effort and because of the fact that Amari and Bryce just and Eli just sliced up the Boise defense inside, the Rebels had a relatively easy time of it despite the shooting woes. And as you say, that defense and that effort travels and that can withstand and overcome some cold shooting nights.
With a lot of teams, If you bring that type of effort, you can break their will and you can break their spirit. And then you can get them playing against each other. Our guys have bought in to come in and being highly competitive and playing for each other. And our identity becoming, we have to get those stops. And then that gives us the opportunity to get out and go and transition. We're seeing more and more zones and switching defenses. And people are not comfortable guarding that four-guard lineup, so they're going to their bag of tricks and throwing a lot of things against the wall. So sometimes our offense sputters as we're trying to decipher exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. At the same time, I know we're at our best and we'll continue to be at our best, breaking the wheel, getting stops, pushing it in transition, and playing for each other.
Coach, I'm curious. I made the comment last night, is an organized 5-on-5 pickup game kind of broke out. I mean, the tallest guy on the court at one point, Bryce. Maybe Nick Blair.
Yeah.
But how is it that you were able to keep your guys locked in and together? Because that reminded me of the year I came back and I was a grad assistant. I played one intramural game at the rec, and I was out there trying to get buckets because everybody's same size. It becomes a one-on-one match. But how did you keep your team locked in on the goal, because we saw at times Boise try to make it a one-on-one game, and they just didn't have the personnel to keep up.
We're fortunate, like you said, on that side of the floor, they were trying to take advantage in the post, diving our guards in and trying to high-low it or get it reversed and entered. Felt like that put them on their heels. Our guys did a great job of sharing it and keeping it on the move, advancing it, driving it, and making the play for their teammate, as opposed to trying to play one-on-one and dominate the basketball. We talked about it in the timeout, but I think more than anything for our team, it's a simple deal. We need to be very stingy defensively. We need to play so hard, break their will, and then get out and go and share the ball. And that is really as simple as it needs to be for our team. All the film we watch and the meetings we have and the X's and O's, when we do that, we're going to be successful, and we're going to continue to keep our focus on that and continue to do that.
Coach Curtis, I'm sure you had the same experience today as I did, where you're talking to people, are coming up and talking to you about the game. Yeah, that was great. That was really amazing. But what happened at the end there? Why did it – and you just have to stop them and say, hey, it was a 10-point victory. The Runner Rebels, you know, they built a big lead. Sometimes those are kids. Coach, I know you had a chat with a couple people about that. It's a good problem to have, if it's a problem at all.
Well, as irritated as I was and frustrated at certain moments in the game, and we called a quick timeout when it went from up 27 up 20, I'd much rather be in the position that we were with Colorado State, where we have to figure out how to maintain a 35-point lead, or at San Diego State, and we're trying to protect a 14-point lead, or last night, we're trying to protect a 27-point lead. We've had a lot of firsts. We've had a lot of twists and turns of this season. We've figured some things out along the way. That's a good problem to have to figure out, and we're working on it, and we'll get that one figured out too here soon.
Yeah. You know what? I think repetition, practice makes perfect. So I think you should continue to build 20- and 30-point leads, and eventually – you know, you'll figure it out, and we're all going to enjoy the ride while you do.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great way to look at it. Amari Hardy's performance last night was terrific. I know you challenged him to be aggressive, and he took that challenge and did it within the context of the offense and with the context of the game, and that shows some maturity.
He did a great job. He got downhill, made plays for himself and his teammates. Felt like he was really trying to be aggressive. We needed him to. And I think we had 22 baskets at the rim. He had quite a few of those. Just thought it was a great game. His focus on both ends was he was locked in and had a great game.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And both he and Bryce and Eli, frankly, were just took over that game on the inside. The Rebels dominated in the paint. Eli brings something special and has brought something special to this team since his return. And, Curtis, I know you've enjoyed watching it. You watch it and you say, gosh, I wish we had him for another year because of what he brings, not only in terms of talent, but the swagger and the attitude and the confidence and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting spoiled in terms of having Eli right now just because of his experience, having played in the Big 12 at Texas, a high level, coming in and just being able to calm the team and know when to push, when to pull back, when to bob and weave. It reminds me of that one year we had Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, if we had him multiple years, could you only imagine? But I think it's important for the guys to enjoy it. This is a lot of fun. But the biggest thing, and I know they're doing it, is just soak up everything that he has to give, because just so much knowledge and be able to learn that, especially for Marvin, learning how to play the position moving forward, is just invaluable. But at the same time, it's a Canada thing.
Yeah, it's a Canada thing. Coach, I know that he's a little special for you because you've known him for so long and going through senior night with him and then having him perform as well as he did, that just had to be a great night.
It was, and knowing their family, having the opportunity to coach his older brother at Iowa State and see the character his brother had, and now he's, you know, willed himself into an NBA player, and to have Eli and to see his family on that night and think of all the years together and all the talks on the phone, and it really meant a lot. It's great to see him persevering at a very opportune time in our season. And since he's been back from injury, said it earlier, Marvin, his emergence took us up a level, and now Eli's raised the bar again with his return from the injury. So it's great to see. You love to see all young people persevere and continue to work hard and have things pay off for him. But it's particularly special for me with Eli, just having the relationship.
Has the emergence, the rising up of this Runner Rebel team late in this season, have you noticed an impact in I'll say recruiting, but just in general in terms of the way the UNLV brand is being received in this day and age of things happening so quickly?
It's important that people know what our brand is about, and it's about doing the right thing. It's about having a high level of accountability. It's about guys playing for the name on the front of their jersey, not the back of the jersey, and then playing extremely hard. And I think people that watch us play feel that those things are happening. We're still building. We have a lot of work in front of us. But I take a great sense of pride in the progress we've made and the work that the young men in our program do each day and their trust in us. And we're going to continue to work our tails off to make everyone proud because this program means a lot to so many, and that's important to us.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a longtime member of the local media, been around, covered the team in the glory days and even a little bit before that. And he made the remark, he said, don't ever forget, despite all the things that are happening here with hockey and with the NFL and anything else going on, Las Vegas remains a basketball town and remains a college basketball town. And I think we've seen that over the last few weeks as the Runner Rebels have started this resurgence, if you will. All of a sudden, the Thomas and Mac is alive again, and it's just going to grow. How much excitement does that give you and your staff?
Tremendous amount of excitement. We're really humbled and grateful for people to have a lot of choices and what to do, coming out to support us. Our commitment is that we will work and outwork anybody. Our young men will do the right thing, and there'll be guys that are fun to cheer for, and we will continue to improve, and that's our promise. And we're just really thankful and appreciative for everybody showing their support. I know our guys talk about the energy, enthusiasm in the Mac in the locker room, and puts a smile on their face and makes you feel good as a coach.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I know Curtis is enjoying it as well. Absolutely right. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a couple of questions on our Twitter line. We've got the San Jose State game to talk about. We've got some general thoughts. We want Coach in this final show of the season to give the fans a little bit of his vision. We've done it before, but now that the program and the team is playing so well, maybe a little bit more expanded view of the vision and the future. And we have a little bit of the future with us for the second half of the show as David Jenkins is going to join us and talk about his view of this season and his view of the future of the Runner Rebel program. All of that coming up as we continue from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Left side, bounces to Eli on the left wing. Eli penetrates. Eli to Jay Green, reverse layup. Great pass to a cutting Green. 40-24 Rebels.
Great pass by Eli. Even better cut back door by Jay Green to get open.
That was the first of two back-to-back plays. Coach, was that the same play when the Rebels got the two back doors, Jay on one and Nick on the other, when you did them on consecutive plays, one from one side, one from the other?
It wasn't intentional outside of on penetration. We want both of those guys to be great cutters on the baseline, and just happened to work itself out, so I won't take too much credit for that.
It was one of the prettiest sequences we've seen from a Runner Rebel offense in a while. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, head coach T.J. Otzelberger with you from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Talking Runner Rebel basketball, Rebels heading to San Jose for the weekend. We'll be up there Saturday for the game, a 2 o'clock tip at the Event Center in San Jose, and 1:30 with Runnin' Rebel warm-up. Coach, we had a question on our Twitter line. Curtis, you got to put your memory to use here. Someone asked, other than CT and Kevin Kruger, who are some players who have played for UNLV in the past? And Coach, you may not know all of them, who would fit in what you want to do and what Coach wants to do. I'll name two right off the bat. Rene Rougeau,
mm-hmm.
Michael Ume.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys who worked incredibly hard, who played physical basketball. Rene made himself into a player. 6'7 guy who, 6'6, 6'7 guy, who just figured out a way to get it done.
Yep.
You think of anybody else?
Coach? Go ahead.
Well, you can, basketball wise, there's obviously every coach looks at and values certain things. I've seen and know a lot of the teams and players, but you don't know who they are as people, how they work, and how they impact their teammates just by watching a game. If you watch Marvin Coleman play one game, you may not know how valuable he is to our team, but when you watch games over and over, you kind of get a feel for, man, this is why, and this is why he fits Coach. So for me, it comes down to really guys that love basketball, that leave it on the floor, compete like crazy on defense and know that we're going to give them that freedom and confidence to do what they do on offense.
100%. I'm going to ramble off my list off the top of the head. Rene Rougeau, Anthony Marshall.
Yep.
Justin Hawkins.
Yep.
Wendell White.
Yep.
Michael Lume. Joel Anthony. Kevin. Myself.
Absolutely. Oscar.
Yes, Oscar.
Those are that would be fun to watch coach have that group.
And the thing with me is why it's such a seamless transition is because those guys, their skill set is so just across the board. They can do a little bit of everything, not great at one thing, and are selfless. Lay it out there and whatever it takes for the team to be successful. I would love to play for coach.
So you have obviously a clear kind of blueprint for the type of player you want. But when they're 17 years old, how do you find out all of that?
It's really important that you not evaluate talent, that you evaluate a situation. And that goes into understanding with young people, have they had some adversity? Have they had some challenges? And how have they responded to those? And how have they persevered? It's evaluating their support network and determining, are those people that are going to you're going to be in alignment with, so everybody's sending the same message, because that clarity in messaging is really important. If some people in the support network are telling them X and you're telling them Y, it's probably not going to work out. And then I think that dynamic of when you watch and evaluate, we see impact they have on their teammates. When they're in a summer tournament, guys that slap everybody's hand when they come out, cheer for their teammates, sprint in and do things and make effort-based plays, that tells a story. Those are the guys we're really looking for, because we want to hang our hat on that defensive effort, energy, and how hard we play, and those are the guys we need to do that.
They obviously like what you said, Coach. They turned the lights on, that's a big deal.
I don't know if this is like your tanning booth.
I think it just became our tanning booth. So that feeds into sort of the vision, and we've talked about it before, but as this season has gone along, as you've learned the community and you've learned the school and you've learned a little bit about the program as you inherited it and the facility and all about it, has your vision for this program evolved, and where does it sit today?
If you watch our team play right now, we're playing the brand of basketball we want to continue to be playing. Having guys that we have the opportunity to develop in a process from the time they're freshmen and moving forward, it helps strengthen the trust, the bond. It helps to build that team chemistry and camaraderie. And I think those are the things we're really seeking to do. We want to be the team that people say, man, those guys play hard every night. They bring it. It's a hard hat and lunch pail mentality. And so I think we're starting to get to the point with some of those things. But we've got a lot left to accomplish. I know that if we continue to recruit quality young men who love this university, love this game, and are highly coachable, I know that the sky's the limit, and we're going to continue climbing.
That's awesome. Rebels go to San Jose, and we talked about the environment, the energy that the Rebels got from the home crowd last night. That is not going to happen.
What?
In San Jose. Yeah, I hate to tell you.
Not going to be a sellout?
Little quiet in a older facility that it is what it is, and some of the Rebels have seen it, many have not. Concerns about San Jose and ways to prepare not only for what they do, and their defense can be difficult to play against, and then the environment is another challenge.
Yeah, their environment's tough, and they've had wins. You know, they beat Reno.
They beat New Mexico, yep.
They beat New Mexico. San Diego State was a two-point win,
yep,
for San Diego State up there, so it's not a place where you just can expect to go in and come out with an easy victory. So they play a lot of zone, probably almost all exclusively against us, I would anticipate. Kind of a spread out 2-3 where they're the lane in the middle of the paint is open, but they really stretch to the perimeter. And so we've got to generate our own energy. At the same time, I'm fairly confident the dimensions of the court in San Jose will be the same dimensions of Thomas and Mack. And if we can manage to play with a lot of energy there, I think we can translate it over with a focused effort come Saturday.
Hoops are still 10 feet high, John.
Most places, yeah, I think that's true. San Jose's unique, I will tell you. I mean, we've been there. What happened a couple years ago when the squirrel got caught between the transformers and we had to shoot around with the lights of the cell phones? Yeah, I mean, strange things happen at San Jose, but we're hoping the Rebels have a smooth journey up there. I swear it happened. Smooth journey up there this weekend. Coach, it has been such a great time. I know you have an appointment to get to, but it has been such a great time having you on your show. And here at Bailiwick, and I know you're appreciative of all the things that the people here do for us and for the fans who come out every week. This is our home away from home on Thursday nights during the season, and it's been a blast.
Yeah, it's a tremendous sense of humility and gratitude I have to everybody, and how welcoming they've been to our family and accepting of us, and then how they treat our players and how we work together as a team in this community, as a husband and father and member of the community. I can't thank everybody enough for creating this great environment. We've got many great times ahead together. We're going to climb together, and we're going to make this a special place and program for many years to come.
I like hearing it. Absolutely. We're going to let you get out of here. We'll see you on the way to San Jose.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, John.
Coach, appreciate it. We'll take a break. David Jenkins is going to join us. Talk about this year. Talk about the future. When we come back, you're listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. On the right side, backing in on Williams, throws a pass out to Eli. Eli penetrates. Eli underneath, lays it up and in. A Harlem Globetrotter move by Elijah Mitrou-Long, almost throwing the ball in front of him, going to get it, and then splitting the defenders to get to the rim with one arm. You remember that play from the foul line where he bounced the ball in front of him, kind of split the defenders, went and got it, and then scooped it up into the basket. Eli Mitrou-Long with a big play last night, the Rebels' victory over Boise State. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield joining us now, and David Jenkins alongside as we talk Runner Rebel basketball, final edition of the Coach's Show this season. Rebels heading to San Jose for the regular season finale and then getting ready for Mountain West Conference tournament play next week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we bring David in, and we've had David on before earlier this year, but we thought it was fitting to have him on tonight as this season wraps up, to get his perspective on what he's seen and then an understanding of his vision and his hopes and plans for next year and years to come for the Runner Rebels. David, really appreciate you joining us. And last couple weeks have been a lot of fun. I know you'd rather be out there on the court, but as the unofficial other assistant coach and cheerleader and whatever else you're doing, I know you've been having a lot of fun watching this Rebel team play well.
Yeah, just to start off, obviously this year had a lot of ups and downs going through this whole season, but we knew that was going to happen because TJ's a new coach. We had, you know, new guys coming in and, you know, new guys leaving, so we all had to get accustomed to each other. And I really think we did a good job of building chemistry and camaraderie throughout the whole year, honestly. Like I said, obviously it's been a lot of ups and downs, but we every time we took a loss, we always say we're not losing, we're learning. And that's one big thing I felt like we really took to heart this year. And I felt like all the losses, we just kept getting better and continuing to grow on them. Fixing different strategies on the defense end and offensive end. We know sometimes on the offensive end we get stagnant because we're not moving the ball, but sometimes we're starting to fix that. If you really notice and you look into the San Diego State game, we got the ball moving. We're playing together, and when we're doing that, I mean, we're really hard to beat as a team, and we really displayed that when we went in and beat San Diego State, followed by a really good win by Boise State as well. So I just feel like if we can just keep continuing to play together as a team, it's only going to be nothing but success moving forward.
You've played for TJ before. Were those things keys to the success you guys had at South Dakota State?
Yeah. At South Dakota State, we were a really disciplined team. Luckily, I mean, everybody played together already. So, I mean, the guys were already together for 2, 3, 4 years. So it wasn't like we're just all coming in as a new team. But we were disciplined, and we made sure that we all played for each other. And you got to really look at it. When it's all five guys on the court playing together as a team and all having fun at once, it just makes everybody's feeding off their own energy. And it's just all flowing, you know. Another thing we use as a team is don't be a germ to your teammates. Be energy for them. So if when you really see it, we were having fun versus San Diego State. Not only were we making big plays, we were having fun for each other. We're celebrating each other's success, not just our own success, but when someone else scores, we're clapping it up for them. And that really goes a long way with your teammates because now they're looking at you like, okay, if he does something good, then I'm going to clap for him as well. And then it's just an endless cycle of nothing but positivity.
You looking forward to watching the Tacoma kid next year?
No, not at all. He's a great cheerleader. Let's keep him on the bench for a little bit.
Jokes, man, huh?
No, no. I mean, of course, I'm a big fan of David, not just because we're from the same hometown, but just the kind of kid he is, right? I mean, you're still a kid, though. But what he does, and Coach mentioned it, they're looking for guys that are great teammates. And David is on the bench hyping his team up. Even though he can't play, he knows his job, and he's trying to bring the best that he can to the team to make them better. And obviously he's given them the best scout that they're going to see every game in terms of preparation, whether he's mimicking Merrill, whether it's Malachi Flynn. But he's doing his part to be better for the team, and it's really showing. And, again, every piece of the puzzle is important. But I'm definitely excited for David to start playing, but not too excited because I'm still enjoying this ride that these guys are on.
Absolutely. David, there was a stretch. You mentioned ups and downs. Rebels got off to a great start in conference play, 6-1, and then you knew there was going to be a really tough stretch with San Diego State and at Colorado State, those four games at Boise where it was going to be rough. The Rebels were not going to be favored in any of them and weren't able to win any of them. And all of a sudden, it went from 6-1 to 6-5. What happened at the end of that four-game losing streak? What was the mood? What were the guys talking about? What got it turned around?
I mean, we just realized at the end of the day, TJ kept preaching to us in practice that it's not about how you fall, it's about how you get up. And like I said, that's something we took to heart in practice, and we really just live by that. Like I said, we knew there was going to be ups and downs. We're all new to each other. We all still were trying to trust each other throughout the whole season. We had some guys who wasn't all the way bought in to the system that TJ was teaching, but guys started to buy in after that four-game losing stretch because, I mean, we have guys who want to win at the end of the day, and they're going to do anything and everything that they're going to do to make sure we do win. So I feel like guys really bought into the system. They started to listen. They started listening to TJ, and they started listening to all of our assistant coaches as well. And I felt like once that started to happen, we started to have success.
I feel like there's a consistency after losses, and I see a lot of the same thing after wins. Like the guys who came out of the locker room, I could hear you guys screaming and yelling at San Diego State. I mean, everyone was going crazy, and we saw the videos. But when Elijah came out and Amari came out, like they were excited, but they're like, man, we still got work to do. And it's kind of the same attitude. They didn't get too down when you guys were losing.
Yeah. To touch on that, I mean, just like in the beginning, we started off hot in conference. I felt like we didn't do a really good job. Like, we got content. You know, we got comfortable. And as soon as you get comfort zone, just like that, things start to happen in the opposite way. I think when we beat San Diego State, yes, we were happy for the moment, in the moment, but then we realized, you know what, we got to come back and beat Boise State at home. So I think we're doing a better job now of not being content. And we're doing a better job of not just getting comfortable because we know as soon as we get comfortable, things can start going bad.
What was happening in that photo with you and Marvin at San Diego State? I saw you retweet it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good.
Just like I said, man, I'm just celebrating my teammate's success. At the end of the day, when everybody's doing that, it's only going to bring positive energy throughout the whole team. So I was just celebrating him because, I mean, you talk about Marvin. I mean, he was a walk-on last year, and he really earned his way up to where he's at right now. He's our starting point guard. And, I mean, to me, that's just – it shows his grit and it shows his tenacity. And, I mean, I really couldn't be happy for no one else but him.
What's this picture?
Oh, there was a picture of them celebrating right after the game, just going crazy, basically hugging. It was good. It was very cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I missed that one.
Yeah, you did.
Almost broke through the feed.
I'll show it to you during a break. Malachi Flynn, we talked off the air about your connection with him. You talked a lot from the bench in game one here. Was there any of that down there? And did you get to talk to him after the game? This is San Diego State's best player, and you guys are, you know, you have a background together.
Yep, I knew Malachi since I was 5 years old. I was talking to him a lot when I was on the bench. I mean, it was when we were at Thomas and Mack Center. I mean, it didn't help as much. It kind of got him a little fired up. Yeah. I tried to talk to him at San Diego State, but the gym was just so loud. I don't think he could hear me. But I tried to get his attention when I could, just throw him off his game a little bit. But I mean, ultimately, he's a great player. I mean, he's always been a great player, and I did talk to him after the game. He was kind of hurt because you think about it, that's just not like a loss. That was their first loss of the year, so it hurt them a lot. But I just try to tell him, you know, you always got to push through adversity. I mean, that was your guys' first loss, but you got to keep going no matter what.
That talk is part of the game, though, on the floor. Give me your read on what was going on with Elijah, who chirps a bit, and Matt Mitchell, because I think you guys got under Matt Mitchell's skin
100%.
Enough that it threw him off, and then he's throwing you guys around.
Yeah, I mean, It's funny because in practice, every practice when we're competing, I always try to talk to everybody. Like, I always try to talk a little bit of smack, you know, because it creates adversity, and that's something they need to see, and we all need to see, because that's what we're going to hit throughout the whole season. But when we can go get through that adversity, it really brings something. So, I mean, now you see guys on the court doing it. Eli was talking to Matt Mitchell, you know, and he got under his skin, and it really throws them off their game sometimes.
I was going to say, he's got some brass ones, because – yeah, Matt Mitchell thought he got charged into, and Elijah finished that little runner. And what is Elijah, 180 pounds, and Matt Mitchell's about 260? Yeah. And he stood right over him and looked at him and like, oh, boy.
Matt Mitchell had something bigger than Elijah for breakfast. So, yeah. You know, I mean, he's a terrific player. I mean, he almost single-handedly won, the Utah State game for him. There's a lot of talent there. But Eli, he is so much fun to watch on the court, and he brings that energy. He brings a little of that attitude that I think the Rebels haven't had in a while.
Yeah.
You have a similar approach. Well, similar. You also have a big personality. I know you approach things a little bit differently.
Right. I mean, Eli is your prime example of heart over height in my eyes. You know, he doesn't care how big you are, doesn't care who you are, he's going to come at you regardless. And I'm the same way. I'm fiery. You know, I don't care who you are. I know who I am, and I'm going to have ultimate confidence. No matter who's on the opposing team, no matter who it is, I'm going to just always come at you no matter what.
You're a little like him too, right?
No, I'm a little bigger than him. Just a little.
As you watch this Runner Rebel team, I mean, you know, you knew how good Bryce Hamilton could be. And you're watching – I mean, it's not even close to being done yet.
Right.
But you're watching a star – emerge. What have you seen from Bryce?
Oh man, I mean, Bryce. Obviously he's a great player. But you know, it was something that me and Marvin in the beginning of the year were just trying to stay on him because we've seen the raw potential he had, like just literally the God-given talent he had. Really, we knew what he could do. But sometimes, you know, he would get in his own head. He just turned 19 years old, so I mean, that's a big part of it. He's young, but at the same time. It doesn't matter how young you are. I mean, when everybody's on the court, everybody's basically the same age. So we just try to keep telling him every day, man, you got to keep working hard. It's like one day something just snapped in Bryce's head. He started going to the gym about 3 or 4 times a day. He got in really late at night. He started getting shots up by himself. And it's just like, you know, the work always prevails. When he started doing things like that, he just started putting up 20, 30 points. And he's a really big part of this program and a really big part of this team. And credit to him for scoring big buckets, you know, getting late stops for us as well.
There are going to be enough basketballs on the floor for you two next year?
Nope.
Listen, to touch on that, it's actually funny you say that because, you know, people ask that a lot. But I played with someone, Mike Dom, at my old school, and he shot almost 2 times more than Bryce did, and there was plenty of balls to go around. So
that's a good thing you aren't playing with the gentleman sitting to your left because
– Why is that?
He doesn't pass, does he?
I'm not sure he could spell it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think so either.
Yeah, he could spell shoot.
Check the stats, John. Mount West Conference leader in assists my senior year.
Yes, he was.
I played with Wink Adams.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, woo! That's true. He but you remember, up. That was the year they gave assists when balls would hit off the rim and then there would be a putback.
Oh, okay, this guy.
So you talk about your assists. Okay, so you and your prime, me and my prime, a game to 1-on-1 to 11, who wins that? Hey, wait, before you answer.
We don't have a time machine. This is kind of silly question.
Put your pride away, and then answer the question.
Now, CT and David Jenkins would be an
boy.
That'd be an interesting matchup.
Take
that off. Take that off the air. We're going to take a break before this falls apart any further. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the rest of this season and then get David talking about the future. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Ball back over his head with 5 on the clock. Hardy steps back, shoots a 3, and hits the 3. Amari having a great senior night in his junior year.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Amari Hardy, big night last night in the Runner Rebel win over Boise State. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and David Jenkins with you here at Bailiwick, our final segment of our final show of the season. Here at Bailiwick, always a wonderful, wonderful time. Great crowd on hand today. Thank you so much for coming out. And again, thanks to the great staff here at Bailiwick, always making us feel welcome. And we encourage you to
tip your waiters.
Tip your waiters and become a patron regularly, not just when there's a show of this fine establishment. David, we're talking about this Runner Rebel season. Still plenty to go. San Jose State on Saturday, and then conference tournament coming up. But you've been an active spectator, if you will, because of your redshirt status, getting ready for next year. This Runner Rebel program has just the transformation since early on in non-conference to where the Runner Rebel program is today and this particular team is today has been remarkable. I don't know that any of us saw it coming after a 5-6 or a, pardon me, a 3-8 start to the non-conference schedule. Things weren't looking good. What were you thinking? What were the guys talking about at that point when there were those couple of games where TJ sat guys and there was a whole sea change in the way the atmosphere around the team?
We knew that we had to establish discipline in this program, and that's what TJ did. You know, guys or people was always asking us, well, why is he sitting Hardy or why is he sitting Bryce or, you know, him, all these guys, you know. But at the end of the day, TJ is going to play who's playing the hardest out there, who's going to play to win. And that's one thing that we really wanted to establish in this program. And I felt like once we started to establish some discipline, things started to change, started to go right, because guys started to realize no matter who I am, no matter my status here at UNLV, the only way I'm going to get on the court is if I'm playing as hard as I can and doing everything I can to win as well. So, you know, like I said, we had a rough start, but it was still guys. Everybody's new to each other. The coaches knew everybody, and we still had to make sure we trust in each other first before anything. And when we started trusting each other, we started making the right plays for one another and started doing the right things for each other on and off the court. And one thing that we really did to turn around the program is we started hanging out with each other off the court. And, I mean, that just really makes a big difference. We started doing this thing where every Sunday we went to the movies with each other. And guys don't really understand how much that really does for one another because you're building chemistry with each other and you're really starting to learn each other. So I feel like that was a big change in this program.
Speak on that, Curtis. Because I've heard the players and the coach say that. I've heard the coach say, hey, going on the road, we're looking forward to this because now we can just be with each other. Why is that important? I would just assume, hey, you guys, of course you hang out with each other. You're on the same team.
Yeah, but you don't always like who you work with, right? Like you and Adam, for example. If you guys didn't like each other or have a good working relationship, your show would be terrible. It's not. It's really good. but it's very important to build that bond, right, in terms of being connected. So that way you know who you're going to battle with. And that if something goes down, you've got my back. So that way I trust you. And if you've got trust, you can go a long way. It's like trust falls. You know what I mean? These guys at the beginning of the season, they probably didn't trust that they would be caught if they fell backwards and there was nothing there to catch them. Right. Now they would probably do it with their eyes closed after spinning around on the dizzy bat 10 times. They trust each other, and that shows what they're doing on the court defensively, and that's just carrying over to them having fun on the court, playing as a team, and that just fuels success.
Has sitting out been what you thought it was going to be?
No. I thought, honestly, it was going to be like, you know, the toughest thing on me ever because, like I said, I've never had to sit out my entire life playing basketball since I was 5 years old, but I thought it was going to be, honestly, a negative. But I turned a negative into a positive. I really started to really understand the game more because, like I said, usually sometimes you're on the court and you're in the midst of the game. You're not seeing certain things that you're doing right and wrong. So now that I'm sitting and I'm really observing my teammates and seeing everything that they're doing wrong and everything they're doing right, I feel like that's going to be it really only added to my IQ and it's going to help me for the next year. I've been working on my body. I've been eating right. I've been, you know, getting in, working hard with our strength trainer. Some of our assistant coaches working on different things in my game that I felt like I needed to work on. Ultimately, I just worked on my craft, and I feel like that helped me.
Did we work on that defense a bit?
Yeah, that defense as well.
There we go.
I think the other thing you've been working on, and I'm not sure how deep this goes, but Moses Wood.
Yes.
You seem to bust his chops a lot. I saw you a couple games ago basically trying to punch him in every timeout. What's going on with him and you?
Man, I'm just trying to get him tough as we can because Moses, when he came in, he was a little fragile at first, you know. But he's doing a really good job of staying in the weight room. He's really embracing it. He's gained a lot of pounds. But Moses is really – he's an ultimate shooter. I mean, he's a great shooter. He's going to come in and be able to space the floor for us from day one. But like I said, I work out him with each and every day. I try to push him as hard as I can. I talk smack to him just to create adversity for him as well. But he's going to be a big piece for us next year. So I'm just trying to make sure I'm staying on him and everybody we got coming in the summer as well.
It's going to be interesting, and we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because this Runner Rebel team has emerged as a legitimate contender in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. But, you know, the future of this Run and Rumble program after this year, there's some things that are going to happen on the roster. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. But we do know that there's going to be a nucleus of players returning. There's going to be you and Moses who are redshirting inserted into the program. And there's going to be a whole bunch of little puppies running around out there. How do you guys, and I'm sure you and Marvin have talked about it a little bit, how are you guys going to get them into the fold as quickly as possible and get them to understand what's expected of them and what the opportunity is here at UNLV?
Honestly, just being patient and making sure we're positive as well at the same time. What I really learned about when I've been playing basketball throughout college is different guys need different things. So you can't talk to this guy the same way you can talk to the other. You got to be able to adapt to be a good leader. So me and Marvin, we talked about this, and we've been making sure, you know, this guy may need these things, this guy may need these things, and making sure we can uplift them as much as we can, because the more confidence we can give those guys is the better they're going to be able to help us going into this next season as well. So we're going to push them hard as we can, combining with them, pushing us as hard as we can as well, and I feel like if we just do that this whole summer, everybody's getting better and working hard as we can, we're going to have really big success next year.
Sounds like the runner-up program is in pretty good hands. I'm pretty optimistic about things.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But still work to do. San Jose, I know you're going to be rooting for your teammates in the regular season finale. Concerned about a letdown at all. It's a tough place to play because it's a big old kind of rec center gym and not many folks there.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I really want to preach to my guys before they leave off for their flight tomorrow is just make sure you're not thinking about San Jose State. Make sure you're thinking about us. You know, because sometimes guys go in and they think, oh, just because they're San Jose State, you know, we start to get comfortable, and the next thing you know, you lose at their place. We want to make sure that we're playing them the same way we play San Diego State, the same energy and enthusiasm. When you go in every single game like it's a number four ranked team in the country, I mean, you're ultimately going to have success because we like to play up to our competition. But if we can do that versus every other team, be consistent, we're going to be successful.
How old are you, man?
21.
Man, you are so wise beyond your years. Just in terms of the vision that he has and understands the purpose and the process behind it, I mean, he knows what to do and how to do it. And obviously, I mean, he talks a lot. He's saying that I chirp and practice here or there. That's what he does on the court. But there is truth behind it, and I think that's just awesome to hear because you understand the big picture and it's the small things that count. And I'm excited. I'm excited for Saturday. I'm excited for next week. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for Running Rebel basketball.
I think it's a great sentiment. We're not quite sure where the Rebels are going to finish. It's going to be third or fourth most likely. Some things have to happen to bump them up to third. But even finishing fourth in the conference, the way the year started with everything new, I think is a remarkable achievement. The guys, everybody associated with the program, certainly head coach Gigi Otzelberger and his staff have done an amazing job. And as I said, with character like David Jenkins and Marvin Coleman and Bryce Hamilton, all the guys coming back, it's just going to bode very, very well for the future. That's going to do it for us. Final word, Curtis or Steve, on our last show. It's been great this year being here at Bailiwick. We're going to run out of time, but appreciate all you guys do. And it's been a great year, and we'll be back next year, hopefully.
I ain't got nothing clever this time.
it's been terrific. Again, thank you to everybody here at Bailiwick. Thank you to the fans. David, thank you. Triv, thank you. Jared, back in our studio, thank you. We've enjoyed it. We'll talk to you Saturday from San Jose State, 2 o'clock tip, 1:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up, and then hopefully see you at the MAC next week for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. But thanks again to everybody at Bailiwick. Really appreciate it. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you Saturday from San Jose State.
Casino. You've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-